Hey everyone. Hi, hello. Welcome to another very exciting episode of Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. I'm sitting here in my studio with my husband, Daniel. Hello.
Hello.
And before we start, I would like to remind you, if you like what you're hearing, or even if you don't, please rate, review, subscribe, tell a friend. And also, if you don't have the new edition of Tropical Attire and Courage and Other Phrases That Scare Me, which is my delightful book of funny things from some years ago that was re-released with new material, go buy that.
What are you even doing if you don't have that?
You call yourself an Allison fan, an Allison stan?
You disgust me.
Or you call yourself a hater, one who consumes my content with hate.
You can't be, yeah, you cannot be a hater if you don't have every piece of merch.
That's right.
And every book.
Also,
you have to know what.
Oh, you know what really bugs the shit out of me, Daniel?
5 stars.
Well, I was going to say when someone subscribes to my Patreon,
yes,
at some of the higher levels.
At the highest level.
Oh, my God, boy, do I feel like a failure when that happens.
I feel like if you do that, then you have all the leeway and every right to be a hater, but only then.
That's right. But you know what else really just makes me stay up at night feeling upset?
Tell me.
When people subscribe to my Substack.
Oh,
AllisonRosen.substack.com.
Sometimes I unsubscribe and then resubscribe if I'm mad at you. Just to stick it to you. I'll create fake accounts and I'll subscribe with those.
You're missing the point here.
Oh.
No, that came off so harsh. It's not.
Damn it.
I'm trying to motivate my haters to subscribe.
Yes. I know.
I don't just need you to subscribe and unsubscribe.
No, but I'm one of the haters is what
okay.
I'm saying.
I see. Anyway, please consume my, oh my God. And don't you just loathe it when people buy my merch?
Nothing makes me more sad. No one makes
sales.
Me realize how much we suck.
Why are we starting off the show trying to appeal to the haters?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, I'm doing Invisalign.
I do know that.
Yeah, it's so invisible that you didn't even know.
Yeah.
The kids, if I walk into the room and like my nail polish is different, that Owen and Elliot freeze and they're like, what's that? And they didn't even notice
it. Like, you're not mommy.
Yeah.
Who are you?
By the way, this sounds like a spot for Invisalign. It's not. They didn't even notice it. That's how invisible it truly is. But anyway, the point is they put these things called attachments on your teeth, which are like tiny little.
I was trying to be
silent. You be louder?
I was getting this to be silent with my can, and there was a secret thing hidden in it.
Okay.
Should we start over?
Probably, but I'm going to keep going. These little attachments, which are like these little brackets that the trays hook onto, and one of them is just grinding into my cheek. I feel like a teenager with braces, which I was. It's just very reminiscent. I need that wax.
Do teenagers these days do Invisalign instead of braces?
Well, first of all, I believe they start all of the orthodontics. I don't know what the end of that word is. Younger. Invisalign does, again, it feels like an ad. It's not. Invisalign does have a version for kids, but I would feel like, are they conscientious enough to do that on their own? I would wonder.
Oh, because it requires the maintenance.
Yeah. Yes. It requires you wearing it for a set number
it's
of hours each day.
It's a miracle my teeth didn't rot out of my head after I got braces, because brushing and flossing with braces, like, I was just not
good. You can't.
Good.
We can't floss with braces.
Oh, you're supposed to.
Are you serious?
You're supposed to, like, thread it through the wire. And then
oh, my
that.
God.
I never did.
Clearly, I didn't either. Wait, how do you do that?
You know, you like, It's like you just thread it through because there's just a wire that bridges each tooth. So you go under the wire and then digit and then pull it out and then do the next one and then
So you're double flossing every tooth.
Double flossing.
Well, so you're flossing the part under the wire.
Well,
and
then
you got to go up and then floss the part above the wire.
I guess so. I mean, if you want to floss the outer part too, I'm just saying to get between the teeth, you have to, you know.
Right, but when you floss, aren't you flossing? Are you just floss? Just wait till I talk about my hormones in a little bit, guys. Are you just flossing where the teeth meet the gums? Is that all you're doing, or are you also like flossing in between the whole contact between the teeth?
Both.
Right. Hence, you would have to be flossing under the wire. Like, here's the tooth. Here's the...
Well, the wire is far away from the tooth. It's not like rubbing against the tooth. So there's nothing there to floss. I suppose if it was like touching the tooth, you would maybe like get in there, but...
I see. So basically, you dangle the floss behind the wire and then pull it between, and then you can do a real floss.
That's right. They call it the dangle thread and floss.
And then you got to pull it out, though.
Yeah.
Which is just going to like squeegee all the little hot dog bits that you pulled out of your teeth. It's just going to all over your wire. Right?
I mean, I never did it. So, I mean, I guess.
Gross.
I know.
Gross. So anyway, here we are. Yeah. How's it going?
It's going all right. Another week just sped on by. I mean, I don't know. There's no slowing time down, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just not. They say that you can slow time down if you introduce a lot of novelty into your life. Like, your perception of time slows when you're doing new things. So,
but is that like a good slowing necessarily?
Well, like if you go on vacation and you're like going to a new country or something. But my life is just such a routine right now.
Yeah.
Just a monotonous.
I know. Your soul is dying.
Soul is dead.
Because like,
that they just zip by. Zip, 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 zip. Zipping, zip, 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 zipping around. It's almost May. I mean, this is crazy.
I was going to say, hey, it's actually April, whatever, but you're right. It is almost May. Because I'm thinking...
That's what I call April.
The first time you drive somewhere you've never been...
Yeah.
God damn it, you made me yawn.
I didn't do anything.
It was your content. The first time you drive somewhere you've never been...
Shots fired.
It feels like it takes a while.
Right.
And then it becomes routine.
Right.
But that is not... Like, oh, I really relished my drive to the new accountant today. I can't believe that I'm not savoring every moment of this next time, you know? There's a lot of stuff that you are aware of, and it does feel monotonous. Sorry, not monotonous, tedious. And then I sort of appreciate when those grooves are worn, and it just kind of, you can kind of glide. You know, that's the difference between you and me. I don't mind gliding from day to day.
Well, the only downside of it is just that your life speeds by real fast.
That, just to get existential for a second, that is the bummer. Because when I am not in a great place, I oftentimes, one of the things I try to tell myself is just get through it.
Yeah,
you're going to get through this. It's going to be fine. Just get through it. Right. And then I have this extra layer of ennui or depression because I'm like, but I don't want my life to be something that I'm just trying to get through. Like, because I'm going to wake up and it's going to be close to death, which I'm actually praying for the release of death, given this hole that this thing is like boring into my cheek.
Right, right. It's the classic conundrum, honey.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's like, find myself praying that like certain days go by quickly, and then you go stop yourself and you're like, but I shouldn't. Every
That's
day is precious.
Yeah.
I need to learn how to appreciate every moment, but you're just like,
That is the thing. That's the rub.
It is the rub. It is the conundrum.
It's the thing right there.
You know, after you go potty, you know what the toilet paper is doing?
The rub?
No, it's ennui.
That's good.
Yeah.
So let's see. We got a lot of calls, like a lot. Let me just see how many. Oh my, that's a lot. Okay, so we have a lot of calls. I haven't been rigorous in. Oh no. Did God you yawn again?
I did not even yawn. I didn't even yawn. This is totally on you.
An update on Elliot's oral surgery.
Oh yeah.
And an update on my hormone chat. And by the way, I now, were you in the room on the show when I told Tony that I would like him to come up with a theme song for my medical minute,
I think so,
or medical chat?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So I kind of on my own, no, I haven't sat down at the piano or anything, mm-hmm. but a little tune came to mind. Mm. It's there's no way it's going to be anywhere near as good as what Tony can do on
Tony
his own,
original.
A Tone Zone original. So Tone Zone. Tony, tune out this part, okay? I don't want to influence you. Okay. Now,
okay.
It came to mind so quickly that I feel like, is this another tune?
Okay.
It would be funny if I sang like, happy birthday to you now or something. But anyway, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, sort of. There's a way this could be funnier than it will be. Okay.
All right. So this is a tune you came up with for
yeah.
this?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
It's TMI at the drop of a hat. It's Allison's hormone chat.
I mean, you know, it fits.
But is that something already? Because I can yeah. already, it is. What
well,
is
I
it?
Think so. Dun, 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 dun. That's the gill. Isn't that the Gilly?
Okay, well, that's what I was asking you beforehand. What is the
well,
Gilly theme
Well, I didn't know
song?
It, but now that you said that, I think that's the Gilly theme song.
Let's find the Gilly theme song. Because then also it goes like do 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 do. It's Gilly. Yes, I think you're right. Well, can I help that they stole my song years before me?
They probably did. You know, time works in reverse as well.
I mean, if it is. All right.
Okay. Let's pick up where we left off yesterday on page 50.
I'm gonna have to. I think I'm just gonna go past till we get to the.
We just threw a milkshake at the blackboard.
Wait, how early does the theme song
I think
come
it's
in?
When we see her for the first time. So
okay.
Was it you, Sam? Cindy?
Okay.
Of course I didn't, Mr. Dillon.
That's Rosario Dawson.
But you'll be happy to know I saw who did, and I'm not afraid to say it was Gilly.
Okay.
Remember,
Gilly.
Daniel loves Gilly.
I do.
Gilly.
What?
Uh-huh.
Gilly, did you throw that milkshake?
Sorry.
Her name is Gilly.
Oh my
and
God.
Again, causing lots of
That's totally what it is.
Yeah. It's the Gilly theme song.
So let's not do that one. I wondered why.
Well, let's hear the whole thing.
Okay, but can I just tell you a little bit? I was like, oh my God, I am so good at yeah. songwriting.
Knock, knock, who's there? Sorry. Knock, knock, who's there? By the way, we started watching that show of hers on Apple TV.
Palm Royale.
She's a really good actress, I think.
Yeah, she is. She's great. I cannot believe that was my song. That is embarrassing.
Honey, nobody is thinking of you as the like Gen X Taylor Swift over here, you know?
I was thinking like Burt Bacharach or something.
Yeah.
Yes, I get that. Or maybe I could be like Steve Dorff, not the actor, but his father who wrote the Growing Pains theme song. I'm just saying.
Steve Dorff.
Yeah, he really did. I'm just saying I.
That's not Steve Dorff's father.
Yeah, it is.
What, isn't it? What's his name?
Alan Thicke?
Yeah.
No, that's Robin Thicke's father.
Yeah, but Alan Thicke wrote like.
Facts of Life theme song.
Oh, so he didn't write Growing Pains. I always assumed he wrote Growing Pains too.
Right, because it's Alan Thicke who was on Growing Pains. No, I'm pretty. You know what? Now I must know. Who wrote Growing Pains theme song? Yeah, Steve Dorff and John Bettis. You got Alan Thicke right there. What you doing? But anyway, I'm just saying that for a second, like in my mind,
thought,
I was going to sit down. Let me just take you on a trip.
Sure.
In my mind, I was going to sit down at the piano And I was already imagining a little bit of instrumentation. You know, just tickling the ivories, just writing it. If maybe I was going to have Tony re-record it and I was going to show him how I had put it together. Yeah. And then today I was thinking, I mean, I was in a band. It's a little bit ludicrous that I'm not putting my musical talent to better use.
It is so ridiculous that you aren't.
Like, I'm in a band. Why am I not, you know, and I've got microphones. Like, I could even do like a guitar lick to my theme song about hormones and or medical stuff. Yeah, I just really, I'm really disappointed to find out that this is not an original.
No.
Because it really came together so well.
Yeah.
And like I said, I had like the next way it was going to go in my mind too. Oh, well. Easy come, easy go. It's similar to when I was going to cut my own hair and then I got worried. What if I'm so good at haircutting that all my friends are wanting me to cut their hair and I don't have time to cut everyone's hair? And then it turned out I was terrible at haircutting.
I recently cut my own hair.
I know.
And I had to like cancel my haircut appointment, and then it just got so long on the sides. I just was like, I am so sick of the way this looks. And so I cut it, and I'm thinking, like, at first I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe I don't need to get haircuts anymore. Like, I could kind of do this myself, but it's actually a total mess.
I don't think you did a terrible job, but here's the thing about you cutting your hair.
Yeah, it gets hair everywhere and it's super annoying.
Here's the other thing about you cutting your hair. It always starts off in our bathroom, and then there's little bits of hair left there. And then about 10 hours later, that reminds me, for some reason, our kids are constantly going, 10 hours later. And then about 10 hours later, you're cutting it in the guest bathroom.
It's a process that doesn't, it's not like a thing that happens in a concise period of time. It's something where it's like, I'll cut it a little and then think it looks okay. And then I'll catch glimpse of a piece that needs to get cut and I'll cut that. And it's just like, because I can't see it all.
Right. But you always hit both bathrooms for a little follicle trim. I think it's because you're seeing an injury. Like when I used to, when I first moved into my apartment that I lived in with two roommates who are friends in Costa Mesa, I would get dressed for work in my room. I went to work later than they did. And then I would go into each of their rooms and look at myself in their mirror.
Yeah, no, you do that.
That's weird, though. Because I remember one of my friends, it was Roya, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I remember, and I didn't put it together until years later. She's like, I keep coming home and finding my light on. Which I'm sure she knew. She was probably being coy about it. Because it's like, who's turning her light on besides me, the new person who's living in your house?
She probably thinks you're snooping.
I know. That's so weird. Yeah. But I wasn't. I was just so insecure that I needed to see myself in three mirrors, and the lighting was different in each person's room. But that's just weird. Like, I just, to anyone who I have injured with walking into their room and looking at myself, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
You're just cringing.
I'm just cringing over the idea that.
Maybe you should send her an email and let her know.
Yes, I will. She probably was. I'll send her a text. She probably was like, why is
this? No, make it really formal.
I'll send her a certified letter. Why is this girl going into my room every day?
Yeah.
That's so weird. Yeah, I'll let her know.
Why don't more people who are concerned about fashion or the way they look, namely women mostly.
Mm-hmm. Bitches be concerned with fashion.
Have those three-sided mirror. I feel like,
oh, the like triptych mirrors it feels like, in
yeah
rooms.
When you're only getting the front view,
yeah.
You'd think that it would be more common in people's bedrooms.
I've never seen one of those in a bedroom. Do they make them for home
I'm
use
sure
I feel
they
like
do.
They're only when you're trying on
that's what
suit.
I'm saying why wouldn't it be like if I was IKEA I'd be like we have an affordable triptych mirror or whatever you call them and I bet you the ladies, not to be sexist, but I mean, let's be honest, would gobble them up.
You know, I went for so many years without a full-length mirror, and you can tell when you look at my photos, but in college, I just had this one of those over-the-door mirrors, and I propped it up on a chair.
Yeah.
So then after college, when we had these mirrored closets, I had to look at mine, I had to look at Roya's, and I had to look at Sheila's.
Right.
I had to. I was really deprived in the mirror department.
This is interesting.
Some people care. I don't think you're one of them, but I think some of them do. Oh, sorry. Did you want to talk about something interesting, like your calendar thoughts?
No, but I was thinking about how the fact that we only ever see ourselves face on is mm-hmm. why we always think we look shitty in pictures. Or at least
well,
for me.
It is a rude awakening, some of the angles of our faces.
I refuse to believe that I look the way I look in a profile. Like, to me, it's like, I hate my profile. That's why I'm getting so much plastic surgery.
Yes. Have you added anything new to the list of what you're getting?
I'm going to get a deeper cheek dimples.
On both sides. Because you pay per dimp.
Yeah, on both sides. It'd be weird if it was just one side.
Okay.
So deeper cheek dimps. I'm getting, but at the same time, extra buckle fat.
Like a buckle fat transplant.
I
want to
look like a squirrel who's eaten something sour.
But what do they use?
For the extra buckle fat?
Yeah. Like, do they use buckle fat they took out of someone like Lea Michele, let's say? Or is it just fat from your thighs or something?
Yeah.
Not that you have any.
No. It's just an implant. It's like a silicone, like, it looks like a nicotine patch. Like a big, and they just stuff it in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah. No, it's going to be glorious. But it's all about that profile. You know, you got to get that lining up
right.
in your self-image.
You know, I look at a lot of before and afters because it's where I like to go when I'm online. And most people, I look at them and I'm like, yes, I can see what you've done, but I feel like you looked better before. When it's filler and stuff.
I can tell
that you, well, it's because I'm reading the caption of like, okay, you balanced her face or whatever. But I still feel like the person before looked better. It's rare that I see what people call facial balancing now, which has to do with where the filler is placed. It's rare that I see that and think it looks better occasionally.
I'm not sure filler ever looks good, but it's always that thing.
Yeah, you're just seeing bad filler.
It's only when you know.
Yeah.
So it's like because you've noticed it, it's bad. But
can I tell you? Sorry.
There's so many people who get it and you don't know and they look great. So.
Can I tell you something that I hesitate to say because it's not about your face, it's about mine. Because I feel like once it's out there that everyone's going to notice it on me.
Okay.
No, I was trying to think of something funnier. Okay. 3 different people have recommended I get filler in my temples.
In your temples?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Because they.
Oh, my God. What are you seeing?
Well, it's like.
They hollowed.
Yeah.
I don't notice it, though.
It's only if the light is hitting you in a particular way.
Yeah. Well, so the last.
Filler in your temples, though.
Yeah. And the last person, like I, of all the things I'm insecure about on my body, I have had nary a thought about my temples. Like, oh man, if only I had like, you know, bodacious, juicy, natural temples or something.
Right.
So the last person was like, see this downward highlight. That would be gone. Like, I've never cared about the downward highlight of my bones.
That's so crazy.
So you're seeing it. You're seeing what they're seeing.
Well, it's not something I notice, but if you mention it, I see it.
What do you see, though, that I'm hollow in my temples?
So that temple region behind your orbital bone.
Right.
Is just, it's a little sunken. But I think that's just because of, like, weight loss.
And age,
yeah. Like you lose the fat that's in there.
Yes. Apparently, it's one of the first things that it like really telegraphs age. Like,
oh, wow.
I saw this picture of this guy who then did makeup on him to make him look aged.
Yeah.
Like if you think of a skull or a skeleton, they have real hollow temples. So.
Well, yeah, because you're seeing the outline of the skull.
Right. So, do you think I should? I'm not going to. but do you think I should spend $1,300?
That's how much it costs?
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, I would say
to fill my temps.
I would say if you were going to get any filler, that would be like one area where I would say, okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need it, but I would say no filler anywhere else.
I've literally never thought, like, apparently I would look younger. I believe the promise of game, like the game would be changed. It's a game changer.
Well, it would round your face off in the way that your face used to be rounder.
When was my face rounder like that?
When you were young.
But then I'd just be an old person with a rounded off face. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
The whole thing with plastic surgery is old person with blank, right? Like, you're not getting younger.
One more thing, and then we'll move on from vanity. Thinking I want to get my colors done, which is where a color professional color types you, because guest of the show, Cole Imperi, has frequently posted online about how she got her colors done and it was like life changing. And this woman that she recommended, I looked her up. She's Canadian and it's really not cost prohibitive to do. It's like just a couple hundred dollars. So if you do it all virtual, she has different package options, blah, blah, blah. So in order to do it, you have to take this like this specific set of photos of yourself and then send them to her. And we've been having trouble finding a time to get the photos before I put on sunscreen and blah, blah, blah. So today, or like I felt like my skin was a little bit too red, artificial, like irritated red. So today I got out of the shower and I was like, Daniel, let's do this today. Wearing my white robe, wrapped my hair in a white towel and got a white piece of paper to hold under my chin. We go outside. It's actually kind of overcast today. However, as I explained to Daniel, I'm like one of those lab rats with red eyes. I cannot adjust to the sun. So I walk out and like, it's just so bright.
It really wasn't too. That's what's funny.
I don't know. I don't know why I was reacting. My eyes were reacting as if it was bright, but I just could not relax my face. Not, she doesn't need a relaxed face. It's all your coloring, but still I couldn't not have a pained expression on my face. I couldn't put my face in glamorous repose. So anyway, the photo, I look 65.
No.
It is the worst photo of me I've ever seen. Not that it's going to be used anywhere. She's just going to look at your coloring, but still, she's going to be like, oh, she wants to get her coloring done in her golden years.
You didn't look that old, but yes, I know that feeling. Well, honey, like I said, come in with me. Let's just go in and get the works.
The couple's works.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay, let's listen to a voicemail. So here's the thing that's interesting. This woman called in, and I can see the transcript, Shun, and it says it's 3 minutes, which is way over, but it looks short. So maybe she just forgot to hang up. Let's see.
Hey, this is Maggie in Iowa. I just listened to the episode where you're wondering.
Did she talk really fast? Or am I slow like molasses?
Just play it.
If any parent ever used telling their kid about Santa to spend less money, my parents did exactly that.
I didn't hear what she said because you interrupted.
Well, it's my show.
Mm-hmm.
I just listened to the episode where you're wondering if any parent ever used telling their kid about Santa to spend less money. My parents did exactly that. It's 1984. I'm 9. My brother is just about to turn 10. My mom picks us up from school, drives us to the local mall, tells us the truth, hands us $100 bill, both of us, we each get our own, and then tells us we have 2 hours to go inside the mall and shop for our own Christmas presents. I can't say for sure that it was less money, but if you look at the photos from the year before to that year, the pile of presents from each year there's a huge difference. So, yeah, my parents won a lot of parenting awards.
Maggie, that's sad.
I know. Maggie, have you asked your mom about it?
Yeah.
You're an adult? That sucks.
Yeah. When giving your kids $100 and saying go on a shopping spree is normally an exciting thing.
But also, like, it's shitty to say you have this amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, because when you want to like really figure out the best thing to get, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that happened to you. Parents, you know, just they can suck.
Yes. And how? All right. Let's listen to another one.
Hi, Allison. Hi, Daniel. This is Stephen from Massachusetts. And yeah, I called a few months ago and you got me. I did live in California right up until about 2 years ago. So good voice detective work there. I wanted to chime in on the conversation about the penis man drop. Because while I do remember the conversation about what you picture when you picture a dickhead, that particular drop actually comes from you asking a question about when Adam and Greg used to use the word coxman to refer to a womanizer, a Lothario type of figure there. And I think you were trying to get to the bottom of, is there some double entendre here that I'm not getting, or are you just saying a man who uses his cock a lot? So hope that helps. Love the show. Steven from the coast. Bye.
Oh my God. That's it. Well, no, but it sounds like, I mean, it
sounds like something you would be talking
I've heard Greg say coxman, and I've always wondered what is the, I don't get it. Like, is it just as gross as it sounds? Coxman?
Yeah, I've always taken it as an entendre.
What's the entendre? Oh, as a single entendre, you mean?
Yeah, it's just like, it is exactly what it seems.
It doesn't sound like it is, though. It sounds elegant.
Coxman.
That's just saying he's a penis man.
He's a penis man. He knows he's good with his penis.
Thank you. It sounds like I'm saying thanking someone for saying he's good with his penis. Thank you for filling us in because I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to hear the drop again? I think we do, Tony. Like, this is just a penis man.
Hey, it's Todd Perry from Allison Rosen's other podcast, Allison and Todd After Hours. And I think the big reason why younger people really love our show is because, let's face it, we're pretty hip.
I'll tell you exactly what I read. I don't need to hide it. I was reading a book called The Menopause Manifesto.
To hear more, check out patreon.com/AllisonandTodd. patreon.com/AllisonandTodd.
What's poppin', Allison and Daniel? Coming to you live from an Amtrak train. I am getting a new job, took a vacation, did something I've never done before, flew from L.A. to New York for the first time, visited a friend, flew from New York to Chicago to visit my cousin and his pregnant wife, and then took the Amtrak train from Chicago all the way down to Los Angeles. It's called the Southwest Chief. It's about 2.5 days. I got a sleeper car, so I got my own little bed with a little door that locks. 3 meals a day included, turned down bed service. It's been a lovely reset. I'm cruising in to L.A. right now, concluding my trip. P.S., shit gets wild in Albuquerque. Whoever boards the train in Albuquerque, it was a hot mess. I can give you a part two of what went down if you want, but this is Vince, by the way. Vince, your neighbor in Burbank.
Vince! He lives in Burbank.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, he said he got a new job, right? Congratulations on your new job. Second of all, what's going on in Albuquerque? I do want a part two. Third of all, I have never slept on a train. I've never had a sleeper car, but you actually make it sound kind of lovely.
I have.
You have?
I have.
In the boys' choir?
When we were in China.
How was it?
Well, this was 1987. And in 1987, China was very different than it is now. And I would not say it was luxurious at all. It was very utilitarian. But there was something fun about the fact of it. So, you know, you have these like, it was like the cots were those kinds that like, it wasn't like, oh, it's a bed. It's like, it was a.
Like it folded like, down from the wall.
Yeah. The bunks, and they were narrow. Mm. But we were kids, so it didn't matter that much. Yeah. So that was that.
Did you say where you were going to where you were going?
I don't remember.
From where to where?
I mean, I didn't have a strong sense of where we were and where we were coming from or where we were going. Like, I knew that we started in Beijing and we ended in Shanghai and then Hong Kong, moved from Shanghai to Hong Kong. But in between Shanghai and Beijing, it was all sorts of towns, like little towns like Jinan or Zhejiang or, you know, I fucking could not make heads or tails of where we were. But it was very cool experience, but yeah.
Like, is this a way that we should travel someday?
I mean,
I've been on trains, but never for anything very long.
The trains in Japan are really cool. Like, they have the bullet trains, and they have just all sorts of different kinds of trains that have all luxuries and amenities and things.
Yes. This, what, you were there, right, when I was talking about my experience on $1 Words with RJ City's friend Nug Nargain. He hosts it, and the whole point is, stop me. Well, I'm going to keep going anyway, but okay. I'm just curious if you know what I'm talking about. The whole point is you're each given 5 words, and you try to get the other person to say the words.
Right.
But the problem is then you end up going on all these long tangents to try to get them to say a word.
Sure.
And I was trying to get him to say transportation. So I asked him, because we had talked about traveling. Like, when you travel, do you end up taking the trains and subways a lot and stuff? And it's like, and he had gone to Japan for his honeymoon, so he was talking about that. But it's like, in general, a lot of hot transpo talk is not that riveting.
Yeah.
How would you get someone to say transportation?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
I've never been good at those.
You can't do the thing where it's like, oh, what is it? What is it called? You know, because he does it every week, so he's totally on to that.
He knows that.
And he also is good enough to know what you're trying to get him to say.
Right. I think here's the problem with taking a train.
Oh, okay.
Is it's a lot of time in a enclosed environment.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it seems fun, but I think I'd get a little antsy. Like, I would want to get out of the train.
Well, it does take breaks in places, right?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the train, right? His seems to, right? He had a experience in Albuquerque.
Yeah. Because people are getting on.
Unless they're just jumping on as it zips
right.
by.
Right. Yes. Yes. How fast was this whole experience? Because if it was like 49 seconds, then he just went through it. Let's listen again. Okay.
Hi, Allison and Daniel, I guess.
I just want to savor that. Thank you. I appreciated that.
Hi, Allison and Daniel, I guess. I'm Kelsey, and I'm a listener for many years, although I took a few years off more recently while just things were terrible and hard. But now things are a little bit better, and so I'm catching up. So my main question is, where did Podcast Pals product picks come from? And also, Daniel should be really nice to Allison because all this shit with hormones and menopause is fucking awful. And men just have no idea how much harder it is to be a woman. Okay, that's all. Thanks.
Hear, hear.
I will never give you
I'm
that.
I'm trying to remember who came up with Podcast Pals product picks. I don't think it was me. Was it a listener suggestion?
I don't remember.
I don't know. But if you're wondering about the genesis of the segment, it's that I realized I've really gone deep into this world of wanting skincare recommendations and just, you know, wanting recommendations and like all the, I just enjoy watching online content about all of that stuff. And I realized that's something I could be asking my guests about.
It's nice to get recommendations that are non-sponsored recommendations,
yes.
too, because who doesn't want
to hear, like, oh, yeah, this thing is
some amazing thing.
Love it.
Yeah, we're always looking for some cool new product and, you know, to know that it's genuine.
Right.
You know, is all the better.
Yeah. So that's where that came from. I think I, the first one was with Fahim Anwar, and I kind of took him through his day and found out like what are the products that you use and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it just morphed into that. Although I think we're going to be taking Podcast Pals product picks on Patreon. Because they're literally Podcast Pals. Because listeners want to, I mean, listeners and Patreon people want to submit their own and let us know what they're super into. So I think I'm going to open it up in that way.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Patreon.com/AllisonRosen. Anyway, Kelsey, thank you for listening. I'm sorry that things were awful and hard during those years, but I'm glad things are improving and I'm glad you're back. The menopause of it all. Update. I got my period. So, you know, I'm 12 days on progesterone and then off the rest of the month. And 2 days after going off the progesterone, which made me very tired and very hungry, but like not tired in a bad way, kind of a calm way, but just like a little bit too much. So I got my period and it was really heavy, really clotty, crampy. And I felt so demoralized. I was sort of surprised that that was my reaction, but
you were done.
I thought I was done. And I was embracing this new part of life where I am not going to deal with all that anymore. And the ultrasound tech had said to me like, oh, your lining is really thin. I doubt you're going to be getting a period anytime soon. And so then to have one that it wasn't just like slight spotting. It was like, okay, TMI. I went through 4 pairs of underwear in rapid succession. So it's like just the fucking same thing of like, here I am. Rinsing out my underwear in the sink again, you know, all this stuff that is just has been such a big part of my life because I have endometriosis. So I've had troublesome periods forever. I mean, I can remember having like a situation in college and then in the dorm bathroom, rinsing my stuff out and then going back to my room and like putting it on hangers and hanging it around my room and thinking it's like I'm in a menstrual hut or something. So to be back in that. So anyway, I emailed my doctor and he changed my prescription. So instead of 200, is it micrograms or milligrams? I don't remember. Micrograms, it must be. A progesterone a night for 12 nights. Now I'm going to do 100 at night daily. And then I asked him, should this prevent a period? And I will read you his email. Maintaining progesterone should hopefully prevent any more periods, but it can take months for this to get controlled, so you have to be patient.
That sucks.
Months.
Mm-hmm.
But he also told me it could take like weeks to months to even feel better. And I felt better within a couple, like 1 to 2 weeks, I felt normal again. So
you'll dial it in.
Anyway,
yeah, I mean,
that's my hormone chat.
I mean, obviously, all of this is just a bunch of bullshit.
I think so.
And
I don't like
it. You're just using this as a convenient excuse.
Oh, yes.
That this is obvious to me as a guy, because if it was so bad, I think I would know.
Hi there. This is Sarah from Texas. By far, my favorite moment ever on the show is when Daniel was telling stories about his, like, totally unhinged boss calling everybody nicknames, like, random nicknames. I think one was, like, Bubbles or something. I'm sure I'm getting that wrong. But I've listened to that episode over and over and over, and it cracks me up every time. And I was just wondering if Daniel had, like, more stories about that. What happened to him? What happened with the nicknames? Did you still work with him when COVID was around? And if so, was he calling you guys those nicknames virtually? I just would love more unhinged Daniel work stories. Thanks. This was Sarah from Texas.
Thank you, Sarah. We need to know which episode it was that you originally talked about this.
I mean, I think...
Was that Randy?
I think she's probably referring to Randy, and he's not unhinged at all.
No, he's great.
He's great. I love Randy. He's the best boss I've ever had. But yes, he likes to come up with nicknames. And honestly, I think it's really funny. But there was one guy. God, I hesitate if I'm able to tell this story because it involves his name. Well, the nickname involves his last name, but I'm going to, this guy, he was the nicest man, older man. He was, worked for us, and, his last name rhymed with bone. And his first name started with the letter T. And it's like, you cannot have a name that starts with T and ends with a name that rhymes with bone and not be called T-Bone. You are T-Bone. But he was vegetarian, which you wouldn't think would matter. He might have been vegan. And he just did not appreciate being called T-Bone. Which I was always like, we're not advocating for the eating of T-bones. It's just like T-bone, it's cool, you know. You're like you know, he did not like that at all. And there was a guy I worked with who I didn't work for him, but he was like the head of sales, and all of the salespeople that worked for him all had nicknames, and that was a little bit more unhinged.
Is that what she's thinking of? Maybe
there was one sales guy. This one sales guy who worked for him that he just picked on this guy so much. And he had this kind of funny facial hair. And so his boss called him the rooster because he looked like a rooster. Uh-huh. And he hated it.
Well, I wonder why.
And the more he objected to it, I remember being at a macaroni grill.
Uh-huh.
And because I'd have to travel with these people all the time. And, you know, they gave us like a card. It's like, fill out this card if you want, you know, emails or promos, or whatever. And he was just like, the name, he put the guy's email and it was like, the rooster. And I remember hearing him be like, you can't do that. Yeah.
What were the other nicknames that guy had?
Oh, I can't. That's the one that I remember because the guy was just, felt it was so mean. He would do other things to that guy too. Like, at the hotel? I think he asked him to go get a six pack next door or something at the liquor store. And when he came to deliver it, he grabbed it and then slammed the door in his face.
Oh my God.
Like, stuff like that. Or like, he would, it was very juvenile.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, like, you are grown men.
Was
like,
he fun, though, this guy? Because it sounds, I mean, it sounds mean, but it sounds also, like, so funny in a sitcom way.
I was amused by it, but it's hard to answer that. I thought it was funny, but I thought it was funny not because I liked what he was doing, but just, I cannot believe this is happening kind of way. So, yeah. Anyway, there's
that. What are
some
other nicknames of people you work with? What's Randy's?
Well, there's
for
been
you?
A lot. They're fewer now because we don't. You know, we're not in the office anymore.
What does Randy call you? Do you not have a nickname?
No, I do, but for some reason, it's like
Sarah would know.
It's funny because it's like I don't think about it at all. I just react to it. I'll have to think about it. What is my nickname? I'm not being cagey. I really truly like. A lot of people just call me DQ.
What does he call Gabe?
Well, Gabe doesn't work with us anymore, but he called him Gabbage.
Well, can I name other people? What does he call Suzanne?
Suds.
What does he call Todd?
There's no Todd.
Yeah, you're the owner's brother.
Oh, well, he doesn't call his bosses. Not even his business partner. No. He doesn't have nicknames for his bosses.
Okay. Who are the other people you work with? I can't remember any names. Peter.
Yeah, no, Peter.
Different department.
Yeah.
Gavage.
Gavage.
And Suds.
But see, I don't know. Like, I do nicknames, too.
Uh-huh. Well, so what are some of yours?
But I don't do them for my coworkers.
Oh, okay.
Although I pick up his. Mm-hmm. So I will send an email to Suzanne and just say, Suds. Like, it, you know, you end up just picking up on it.
Yeah.
My feeling about nicknames is, as long as it's not mean-spirited, who cares? It's fun.
It is fun.
You know?
But I just want to know more of them. Who are
Well,
the...
there aren't that many people in our group. And some of the people...
I'll take a nickname of yours.
So there's a girl named Christina, and I think she was C-Bot. I don't know. I can't remember anymore. I'm terrible.
Sarah.
But.
Will you be my husband and tell me what Daniel cannot remember?
Yeah. It does make it for a more jovial atmosphere. I think it's a good tactic to kind of lighten the.
My boss at the OC Weekly had nicknames for everyone. And I am wondering if I shared that on this episode that I can't remember. But now I can't remember what they were. Someone was Wiener. But his name was Steve, I think. And
well,
Matt had one, and I can't remember what that was. I was Alonzo. Oh God, I cannot remember.
Oh, Nathaniel. That's mine. Nathaniel.
Why? Because you're Daniel?
Just yeah. He just calls me Nathaniel.
So now when you say that you like you do nicknames, but not for people.
Well,
I
for
with,
my For kids. Boys and for, you know, Wendy. I don't have one for you, though. It's funny. I don't have a nickname for you.
I know. I don't have one for you.
Because you're sort of my boss. You know, I don't want to have a nickname for my boss.
Would you want to share what some of the nicknames are for the dudes and for Wendy?
I call Owen Oat Burp. I call Elliot. Well, these days I call him E-Bones.
Mm-hmm.
I've had many over the years. Wendy... I just call her Wendy the girl, mm-hmm. or the girl, or various versions
or
of
Miss
that.
Do.
Or Miss Do, or Wendy Do, or Doodleberg.
And I've started calling her Wingdings.
Wingdings is good.
Or Winata Doodle.
Waggles.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like whatever she looks like in that moment. yeah, but Oat Burp is my favorite.
And then sometimes I'll call him E-Burp.
E-Burp
yeah.
is good. Yeah. Well, there's Oat Burp and Eat Burp. yeah, but no, E-Bones. I used to call him Fella Falopulous or Flopulous,
mm-hmm.
but he grew out of that.
Yeah, he was the fella for a long time.
He was the fella. Yeah. You know, they grow out of it. Will Owen grow out of Oat Burp?
I mean, probably.
I call him Oatman. That's for, maybe it's evolving. Obertron.
Yeah, that's an old one.
Yeah. So, yeah. You don't want to stay too long on a nickname. You know, you got to keep moving, keep evolving.
Mm, like a shark.
Right.
I guess that makes sense.
Hello, this is Lisa in Cambridge.
We are a very cultured pod. Oh, wait, unless she means Cambridge, Massachusetts. She might. But still, we're cultured. She does. I'm looking at the area code.
Your call for calls. And I do have a JMO. I have a meta just for everyone, which is that whenever I hear the little song for Just for Everyone, I absolutely must drop what I'm doing, which is usually driving, take one hand off the wheel, and I kind of wait it in time to the beat, and then at the very end when there's that little break and then it's I always have to jab the air above my right ear with my index finger to punctuate the final note.
There you go.
A little burst of joy every time I hear it. Thank you so much. And again, this is Lisa in Cambridge. Bye.
Wait, is it Melissa in Cambridge or Lisa in Cambridge? Because
well, I was having a little hard
time. No, this is Lisa.
Lisa.
It's Lisa.
Lisa.
Google translated it to Melissa, and that's just flat out wrong. I love that. You can't be the only one who does that.
You know, I love choreography.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do that. but I think everybody should do that. And if you're not doing it, then I don't know. Start.
Yeah. What are you doing with your life?
What are you doing with your life? What are you even doing is what I say.
I say that too.
Hey, Allison and Daniel. This is Carolyn in New York. Just want to, I don't know, see how things are going here. This is going to be a terrible message. So I just bought myself my first weight cane, which is the cane that you use when you have a visual impairment. Because I have a visual impairment, but it's not so bad yet, but I'm prepping for it to be bad. I'm not really sure. Either way, I got it. I ordered it on Amazon. I feel like it's too long for me, but I don't know what I'm doing because I'm only semi-blind. I need to take the training. But now that I live in New York, I've called you guys before and moved here from Wisconsin. And yeah, I go to New York City sometimes and there's lots of people and all the people are in my way or I'm in their way. Not really sure. Either way, I'm mulling over becoming a person who carries around a cane, and it's weird. And yeah, that's how it's going. Also, there was an earthquake here, but I didn't feel it. So I don't know why I didn't feel it, because I was sitting in my house sitting at my desk. My dog didn't feel it. The guys working in my house didn't feel it. So yeah, that's how it's going here in New York. And again, this is Carolyn.
I mean, I don't know if this is a stereotype or if this is true. I've always thought that if you lose one sense, your other senses compensate, right? So she should have really felt that earthquake.
But maybe the sense that compensated was smell. You know what I mean? So, and not all this, you know,
right.
Maybe it's not all of them.
Ah, so inconvenient.
Right.
That's intense.
Yeah.
That is intense to I see the direction this is going. But I think that's so great to, I feel like I'm using corporate speak, but like to get out in front of it and say, now's the time that I'm going to begin adjusting to using this.
Yeah. My heart goes out to you, though.
Yeah.
That's got to be difficult. I think about that sometimes, like what it'd be like to lose your vision. And mm-hmm. I'm so visual in the way that I interact with the world that it would be. For me, it would be fine because you're
in my head.
Yeah, you're, you know,
useless
when it comes to anything visual. But me, people like me, you know, true artist types, it's really hard for us.
And Carolyn.
So I think it would be hard to be in New York, visually impaired because there's just such a crush of people. Like,
yeah.
You know, I could see them just not seeing the cane a lot, you know, as they motor on by.
Well, I mean, I guess she could let us know. But I think the idea would be, and I don't really know, I'm just this guessing, but I think the idea is you kind of like make a wide enough swath.
If yeah.
You have to see it coming. I mean, I think there's an argument that a walking city would be better than a city where you need to drive a lot to get everywhere.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
How's New York going? I would like to know. How's it going from Wisconsin? And also, were you at one point fully sighted, like not visually impaired at all, and now you're going to become blind? And what is that like? There are a lot of questions.
A lot of questions.
It's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I was thinking today, because I was sitting at my desk and I was looking at my computer and I was actually like my chair was pushed back and I could not make out anything. And then I was looking at different written words around the office, trying to figure out what I could make out. And I was just thinking like, I'm not trying to say it's the same, but suddenly relying on glasses.
Well, you're saying you know what she's going through.
I can feel her. It's as if her heart beats in my body and
right.
Vice versa. It's weird. Because I never needed glasses. And now to be able to see, I really do need glasses.
It happens. Yeah.
It's just so strange.
It's a helpless feeling, too. That's why, like, years ago, I got the LASIK. Because it was right after 9/11, actually. Because I was like, if I lose my glasses, I'm fucking, you know, I'm vulnerable.
in a terrorist attack, though, or
just anything. It just, I wasn't like, but oh,
what
I'm
was the
relation?
I wonder what the relationship was between that and 9/11.
Well, it was just like, oh my God, terrible things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Like you could lose your glasses.
And if I'm out in the wilderness or something and I lose my glasses, like I would be fucked.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I was like, well, you know, it's worth the risk of the surgery so, just so that I don't have to be totally fucked if I lose my glasses.
Do you, as someone who is constantly uncomfortable with your eyeballs ever since the surgery and who now wears glasses, do you regret your decision?
Not
and who
at
need
all.
To get the surgery twice?
No, I'm not constantly uncomfortable. It's only like in the mornings where they get really dry. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that sucks, but it's still worth it.
So your vision is a lot better now, even though you do need glasses.
I'm not wearing glasses now. I can see fine. Like,
can you
I
read?
No, but that's come with old age, as I've gotten older.
But that's what I am.
What's your point?
My point is.
What's my point?
What is your point?
I don't even remember what my point is.
Your point is you don't regret getting glasses. Your point is you don't regret getting the surgery.
I don't.
I am tempted to switch. Carolyn, we're centering ourselves now. I think your mom wears one contact for close up, and I'm kind of tempted to try that, except I feel like I would like throw up.
Yeah, she said it's like a instead of getting progressives, mm-hmm. she has
a progressive contact.
She basically has like a lens in one eye for close and a lens in the other eye for far, and that her brain
is scrambled.
Like,
yeah, your
I don't
brain,
know.
They say that, but I don't know. Maybe I'll try it. All right. Speaking of the earthquake.
Hi, Allison and Daniel. This is Leela calling in from Western Massachusetts. We just experienced an earthquake here, which was very weird. We're not used to that. And I work in an elementary school, so all the children were very, very confused as to why the whole building was shaking. So that was very exciting. But my main purpose for calling was to just let you guys know how much the name Gramblin Napchip, which I believe Daniel came up with, lives in my head rent-free. It is the name of my D&D character, and I find myself saying it in my head several times a day. So thank you for that. I also want you to know that I think a lot about towel technique and just appreciate that I have a word for a skill that I have. Thank you. Bye.
Was it towel technique from early days? Was that the...
Well, so, yeah, I'm curious. I'm trying to remember what towel technique was. There was the tummy towel, which is that all the guys wrapped the towel around their waist, but Matt Fondelier wrapped it up high. But then maybe I had talked about how towels, I could imagine they come loose and someone mentioned towel technique.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to need to know what towel technique is. You know, I wish I could remember why you came up with Gramblin Napchip, because I don't think it was.
That wasn't the baby names?
I don't think so, but maybe.
I don't know. Gramblin Napchip. Yeah. It is a good D&D name.
It's great.
It's definitely.
It's great.
Oh, I thought you were about to play something.
I might could.
Hey, Seth from Silver Spring here. Here's my JMO. Whenever I'm flying somewhere, I always am focused on the destination. So when I'm at the airport leaving, I'm thinking about the destination. I get to the destination, and then when I look to see where my baggage claim number is, I always think of the destination airport, even though I'm already there instead of where I came from. It happens literally every time, and I travel all the time. Is it just me, or is it everyone? This is Seth from Silver Spring. Thanks.
Okay.
What?
You have to break this one down for
okay.
me.
Okay.
So
yeah. I'm going to play it again.
Okay.
Hey, Seth from Silver Spring here. Here's my JMO. Whenever I'm flying somewhere, I always am focused on the destination. So when I'm...
Okay, so that makes... I get that.
At the airport, leaving, I'm thinking about the destination. I get to the destination, and then when I look to see where my baggage claim number is, I always think of the destination airport, even though I'm already there, instead of where I came from.
Oh. Like when, so let's say he flies to Colorado.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's got Colorado in his head. So even though when he arrives in Colorado, he's not looking for bags from Maryland. Got it.
I don't think that happens to me. I think it probably happens to you because you're just thinking about it so much.
Yeah.
I don't generally think about it that much, I guess.
I actually think that I just kind of wander in the direction of baggage claim and then look for people I recognize from my flight and assume they must know.
Right.
That's what I do. So right. I don't think about either.
But then I don't really travel that much anymore.
You don't travel that much anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. When I was young, I thought it was so glamorous to travel all the time for work, especially if it was in entertainment. And now I got to experience some of that with the Adam Carolla show.
Mm-hmm.
And now I never think like, oh, I wish I was flying to, this faraway place that I've never been to do a show or something.
Yeah.
I never wish I was touring.
I remember when I started a job where I would be traveling, and it was the thrill at first is like everything is, paid for by the company.
Yeah.
So you get to like take a flight and they're going to pay for all the meals and you can go, so you can go out to a restaurant and you stay in a hotel. After the first trip, that goes away. Cause it's like, the other part
of it is neat at the beginning though. It is a perk.
Yeah. But it's like you're taken away from your life. So it's almost like you're working nonstop for however long you're away, mm-hmm. Even though you can go back to your hotel and it's still like you're not home. The one good thing about it was all the miles you'd rack up, so that was good, but I don't miss it.
Did you have status?
I did for a couple years.
What did it do for you?
You just get like upgrades or whatever. You get to go through the priority lanes, I don't know. That stuff was nice, but I don't know. I was traveling to, occasionally I'd go to Minneapolis or something, but mostly it was, Arkansas.
Right. No offense to Arkansas.
Well, Arkansas actually is very beautiful, but no, I wasn't going to Arkansas. I was going to Walmart in Arkansas.
Right.
It wasn't really fun.
So then when you were there, were you like looking for Walmart on the baggage claim?
That's
if
right.
You would like to call in, please do. 323-553-2331. This has been a delight. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Daniel, you're okay. Where can they find you? Oh, wait. I forgot to do this thing.
Yeah.
Do you know that so many podcasts out there to get a premium ad-free experience like you've had right now, they'd be charging the big bucks. I am giving it to you. So I would love if you would pay me for it. I'm joking. Look, ads are thin. I've mentioned it before. So it's a scary time for a show, which to me is quite beloved. Beloved? Do you say beloved or beloved?
Beloved. Beloved,
I think. To me is quite beloved. So I am now relying on your direct support to keep this show going. If you're in a position to, patreon.com/AllisonRosen.
Patreon!
AllisonRosen.substack.com. Thank you. You guys have stepped up and it like means the world to me. Thank you. Do you have anything to add to that, Daniel? Because I feel like you're better at that than I am.
Oh, you did fine. People get it. Like, obviously, if you can't afford it, then... No, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's
we get
totally
it.
It's totally fine. I don't know. It helps justify the
expenses
and the, because it does cost money to do the show.
Your rate is kind of insane.
I don't do the show for free.
All right. Where might we find you?
I feel like everyone who would want to follow me follows me probably, but
you're probably right. That's good.
Yeah.
And all my stuff is all the places you would know it to be, including TikTok, the Allison Rosen, and YouTube.com/AllisonRosen. We're going to get back into doing video pretty soon. Again, I've mentioned Patreon.com/AllisonRosen. Do an annual subscription and get 2 months free. In fact, right after this, we are going to record a Patreon episode, except we're going to run out of time. So I got to figure that out. Okay. Everyone, thank you for listening. I love you. You matter. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, do you know about the Allison Rosen Show? We had a good time, but now we gotta go. Yeah, Allison Rosen is your new best friend.